Hello, everybody, indeed. Welcome to the Metaverse Podcast. This is episode 45. I'm Jero, joined by Skyline.
Hello.
Hi, Way.
Hi, everyone.
And Smiley.
Howdy.
Let's get into our discussion now, which is Studio Spotlight 1. I'm hoping that this will be a recurring topic that we get to on future episodes of the podcast, because so many times with anime previews and stuff, you might see us write about all these shows that are coming out, and you see it's, you know, we say it's a PA Works show and I'm interested in what they do, it's an A1 picture show and they always do good with this and blah blah blah, but we don't ever really spend enough time actually looking at the studio, their full body of work, and what we think about their studio when it comes to, you know, sort of our perception of them and our potential enjoyment of their shows. So I figured this topic would be good to kind of spend a little bit more time talking about the studios. And I wanted, when we do these podcasts, I don't want to just do all the big studios right away. I don't want to talk about A1 and Shaft and IG and those studios. I kind of want to focus on studios of different statures, different levels of notoriety, and I hope that's kind of the case here with this first studio spotlight, which features PA Works, Kinema Citrus, Feel, and Zex. And the first studio we're going to be talking about is PA Works. They are currently airing Glasslip this season, and they're a studio that's very much known for sort of scenery porn, I guess you could say, very nice, pristine visuals. When you guys see that PA Works is attached to a show, what is your reaction? What are your thoughts? Does that make you more interested, less interested?
Makes me very interested to be able to see what the show is. With a possible exception of, say, like, what is it, True Tears and Angel Beats, I've probably watched all of the stuff they've done, so, and have, within just a couple of exceptions, not been upset by a single one they've done.
Highway?
If I hear PA Works is doing it, I will watch it. There's pretty much anything they make now, I will watch. I have watched everything of theirs except for Angel Beats and Another, and mostly because I just haven't gotten to Angel Beats yet. I probably won't watch Another, but Everything else that they have done, I have thoroughly enjoyed.
Smiley?
Well, I don't usually watch based on the animation studio. So when I hear PA Works, it just basically tells me, first of all, yes, everything is going to look, all the backgrounds are going to look very pretty. It's going to be, you know, colorful and sparkly and shiny and whatever. It's going to have kind of a soft feel, I guess, from the look of things. And that's, I mean, as far as the kinds of shows they do, I also know to expect some sort of romantic drama to a certain extent. Take that as you will. But that seems to be their favorite there.
Yeah, for the stories that they do, their original stories, they're very much like that. If you see Honosuke Yuha, Tari Tari a little bit, Nagino Asakura, now Glasslip, that's... When I think about PA Works, I'm more concerned nowadays than I used to, because Glasslip especially shows what type of show they do, especially when they write an original story. Iroha was okay, but I feel like a lot of them kind of feel very similar to me. And Eccentric Family was very different because I was anticipating the work of the writer from the story from the same guy who did Tatami Galaxy. So now that's what I'm kind of curious about, because I don't think Another was a very good series. I don't think Red Data Girl was a very good series. I know Fosh didn't. She couldn't be here. But story-wise, I'm a little concerned when I see it's them.
See, to me, the stories they're doing now are excellent. Like, I really do think the story for Glasslip is just excellent, and the way they're telling the story is very different, and I'll admit that it might not be for everyone. And it's not that if you don't like it, you're a dumbass or something. It's just the way it's being told is a specific way. And I can understand some people not really enjoying that, but it's slow. It's atmospheric. It's and a lot of it may even go back to the director who also did True Tears, where that for PA Works, where the direction of the show is to keep this kind of feeling of uncertainty all over the show. Mm-hmm. And you don't really know how stuff's going to turn out. And even though things are happening and they're very clear, there's still this feeling of uncertainty about it. So I've liked the way that they've moved. And of course, it'll change with the director as they go along.
Yeah. With Glass Lip, there's a very idiosyncratic approach to storytelling, and that's pretty much real life verisimilitude. Because if you're in a relationship or potential relationship, or there's some going on that you're anticipating or even anxious about, you don't know what's going to happen next. There's no clear clues. There's no flags popping up in the path, you know, like we always joke about, that says, this is the way it's supposed to go. It's an experience. You sit down and you absorb the experience, and that's the story. Pure and simple.
I'd also like to add that PA Works is doing a lot of this kind of, they're experimenting with the storytelling and stuff. The mm-hmm. storytelling in Eccentric Family was almost peerless. It was, and even the way it went back and told the same story again and again, but every time they added more detail, had a different perspective, gave you more information, and it was just, you loved hearing about it. So,
you also mentioned the romance angle and things like that, but I think the love story in a lot of them do change rather well, because a lot of people assume that, you know, Hanasaki Aroha had that love story between Ko and Ohana, and it never really was that story. I mean, it had that in there, but it was an intergenerational love story. It was a story of three generations of women and their trials and how much they cared about one another or couldn't stand one another. And to me, that added a lot more richness to it. That made it a lot more of an experience once you looked at it that way.
I want to go back to Highway's point about Eccentric Family. Not to like take away from the point there, but I do believe that kind of writing is better attributed to the author of the original work, because as far as I'm aware, that's the same style, the exact same style he had for Tatami Galaxy. So yes, it was adapted and whatnot, but I don't think PA Works is responsible for that kind of storytelling. Although they did adapt it well, that's for sure.
Yeah,
I was better at that. More than kudos to great at that adaptation, man. Yeah.
In that one, they didn't use the same visual style, which I kind of appreciated a little bit when I see it, because as good as what PA Works did with all these shows, it's nice when you see a studio kind of change things up a little bit visually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think for me, really the only thing that carries across is kind of the water and the skies. Mm-hmm. They do really change the visual style of the like buildings and stuff. Like at least from what I noticed, like the way that Nagi no Asakara looked with all the different buildings with these curved concrete surfaces and round windows and everything being painted with like waves on the side, but still a little shabby, like it's been worn. It's like it looked like this real fantasy world. Like, knowing what I do about construction, there's no way you'd build that stuff. You'd put square corners on stuff. You wouldn't make this big round building. You just don't do it. And they did that kind of stuff. And then they have other shows like Tari Tari and Glass Lip, where it's much more conventional.
Well, it's ultra modern in some respects. I mean, everything is vertical. Catcutter's house is, wow. I was watching that, just looking at the way the house is arranged, and I was going, wow.
So, if it applies to anybody here, what is your favorite show from the studio? I would definitely say Eccentric Family for me, and in a somewhat distant second, I would say Angel Beats, which I think you guys mentioned that you hadn't watched it. I think you would like it.
I saw the first five episodes for it, but kind of just got overwhelmed by a lot of other stuff, and it's there. I just have to make time for it, and I did enjoy what I watched.
The same thing for me, although with J-Ro recommending it, every time he recommends a show to me, because he thinks I'll like it, I like it, so I'll probably watch it.
All right. But a favorite specifically from what you've seen so far?
Let's see. My favorite... right now, it's Glasslip. It actually is. But prior to that, it's probably Eccentric Family as well.
All right. And let's move on from... Outliers. Is there any series that you think is an outlier, is very different from the rest? I think Another kind of fits in that.
Yeah.
Because it's a horror genre.
Yeah, Another is probably the one that doesn't really fit in, even though the visual style for Eccentric Family is so different, it still fits in more with the rest of the shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and it's also, I would say, you know, where I just didn't enjoy Nagi no Asukar or the other ones, I think I can legitimately say that Another sucks.
No, let's say it. It's fine.
Wow, it was ponderous and cumbersome in moments when you get right down to it, and the horror moments were incredibly formulaic, but I just kind of approached it from real life horror, is the fact that you could just basically more or less look at a person in your classroom and say, you don't exist, period, and just ignore that person for no other reason other than to live up to some sort of superstitious crap, you know, and that I enjoyed watching that bit. And then of course they had to kill someone in a crazy way. I was like, oh, you're missing the point. He lost something there.
All right, now we move on to our next group, Kinema Citrus Production Studio. They haven't done a lot, much like Feel or Sex, so it's maybe difficult to exactly get a feel of what the studio is like. They've done a few shows. They started off doing Tokyo Magnitude 8.0, which they co-produced with Bones, and then they've kind of did some other anime like Codebreaker, Yu Yu Shiki, Black Bullet this year, and also Barakamon this season, which I think maybe only five episodes in, probably my favorite show for them. But does anything come to mind when you guys think about Kinema Citrus? It's kind of difficult.
Off the top of my head, I mean, not only was Barakamon really great in story in its first episode, but all of the character animation for Naru and for Honda Sensei was complete 100%, and the OP all the way up to the end credits was complete Sakuga. It was done down to one person taking over individual scenes and just doing it all by themselves. All the keyframes, all the in-between. You can tell there was a labor of love going on that one. My jaw was dropping because I saw it happen on one scene. I said, surely they can't keep that going. But every single scene those two are in, they just kept that going.
When I see this studio, I think of, as I look at their resume, I'm thinking of the word progression, because when I first saw them with, you know, I didn't see Hige Piyo or Oshide Kajimushi, but with Codebreaker I saw what I thought was kind of a mediocre series, and Yu Yu Shiki some people liked, I personally didn't. But then
no, it's okay.
Yeah, but then I look at what Black Bullet did, even though in light of what you've said on past podcasts before, Skyline, is that they're picking up better stories to adapt, and they're maybe growing as a company.
There were moments of derp anime, I mean complete derp animation in Black Bullet, but there was also some moments where they did it really well. I'll have to say that. Good character design from start to finish, I'll agree there. And some of the action scenes could have been a bit more full-throated, could have been a bit more revelatory. But yeah, I'll agree.
Yeah, I have to say that the progression is also what it is. Although they did some stuff looking at the list of things they did a while ago, like Nagareboshi Lens, which was an acceptable OVA kind of thing to watch. And I really did like Yuyushiki. A lot of their other shows, I just dropped. Like Bullet, I dropped. Codebreaker has a great OP song, but I didn't watch it. That's about it.
Yeah, they've not done very many notable things. I guess the biggest name on their resume is just Tokyo Magnitude 8, I guess. Probably.
You know, it's really weird. I'm looking at all the lists because we have links up to be able to look at all the things that are going on. And it's really interesting because you can see, you know, you can see, you know, in between animation. And sometimes it's shared back and forth, like on Kinema Citrus. You know, we were just mentioning Hanasaki Aroha. They're on their list at a second key animation and in between and different things like that. So it's just like, it seems that studios kind of like cycle in and cycle out. And then all of a sudden, oh, wait a second, you've accumulated enough capital and now we're going to promote you and you're going to have a big show coming out that's going to receive a lot of attention. Mm-hmm. Is that just me?
No, that's about what it looks like.
Okay.
All right. And favorite show from them? I gotta say Barakamon, even with 5 episodes so far.
I would say Yuyushiki.
It's a tough one. I really like the Yuyushiki, but Barakamon's pretty good. So I'm gonna have to go with that.
And they've only got a few shows, so I mean there's no real outlier here other than just their production work with Tokyo Magnitude 8.0. So we move on to our next studio, which is Feel Studio. They currently have 2 anime airing this season, which is Jinsei and Loco Doll. And Feel is a studio that I always, whenever I see their name, I always think it's going to be some ecchi with a mediocre to all right story.
You want to know why you think that?
Because it's
because it's because they did Kiss Exist. That's why.
Pretty much.
They did what?
I see the same thing, but I haven't seen Kiss Sis. So, I mean, a lot of their other
Kiss,
shows. Are...
Kiss Sex Sis? Kicks... Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, that's going to always give you a reputation for something, for crying out loud. I mean, wow. But I like Kiss Sex Sis. It's stupid and it's fun.
When I see Studio Feel, I'm like, yeah, it's going to be a good enough show. It'll be something interesting to watch.
Yeah.
Enough that I won't drop it kind of thing. It's not like, oh yeah, Studio Feel, I gotta watch that. No, it's usually gonna be serviceable entertainment.
It's a pretty good way to describe them. I think they actually have a surprisingly big list of works that they've done. And it's like, if you look at some of the older stuff, it's definitely not nearly as fan servicey as their more recent works. Even Jinsei, I was not ready for it to be so fan servicey, which again is not a problem because I kind of appreciate it in that show. Even though I've not been covering it much, it's very hard to talk about that show. But yeah, I mean, I'm just going back and looking at some of their older stuff. I mean, they did.
Yosuga no Sora. Yeah.
It's not really.
But
fair enough.
They also did Papakiki, which kind of got into that.
That had some fan service moments.
The show I've seen on the list that I can spot is probably Shikabane Hime, which I guess had some fan service, but it was more of just like hardcore action fighting. Blood everywhere kind of thing going on there.
They got DeCapo and DeCapo 2.
And forgetting to mention my favorite from them, Minami K to Daima, one of my favorite shows.
Mm-hmm. I would say Outbreak Company for me is my favorite just because of how fun of a story that was.
Didn't they also do Mayoshiki, that's right, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They did do Myojiki, which is another goofball off the wall story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that was a very fun show.
I'm trying to decide if I like that one better than Jinsei, but yeah, it's hard to say. I'll just go with my own Chiki for now, for my favorite from them.
I'd have to say Outbreak Company.
Alright. Yes. That was a fun show, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you see anything here on this list that looks very different from the rest? Because I think for the most part they...
Well, I can tell you right now, there is one show that they did that is different from, like, everything at the time, at least. That's Futekoi Alternative, which the best way to describe it is just a hot pot of the most random things ever. If you just look at the Anime News Network page for them, just look at the image, the little thumbnail they have for Futekoi Alternative. It's it's two girls with a gun on a bicycle, so, on a motorcycle.
A scooter.
So,
yeah,
scooter. Yeah. So yeah, that's a pretty good way to sum up. Actually, that's even an understatement of how wacky the show is, and that's really out there compared to most of the other things that Feel does.
Wikipedia says that series is done by Ufotable.
Was it? I don't know about that.
It was Feel, Flag, and Ufotable.
Okay.
All right.
They're all three listed as animation production.
It must have switched around or something. That show, if I remember correctly, did change up styles a lot. So that might be one of the reasons why it happened then.
All right, and we move on to our fourth and final studio, which is Zex. Z-X-C-S, not Zex. Their summer 14 anime airing is Shonen Hollywood. Stage for 49, I believe, is the full name for that. And for a while there, when I saw that Zex was working on it, I always thought, this is going to be mediocre anime. And then starting with Tsukite i Nayo, which I would classify as somewhat of an outlier for that studio because they hadn't done, to my knowledge, anything that's really shoujo-esque. And then Akunahana, I saw a studio that was trying to do more unique things with the adaptations that they had. Mm. Made a little too unique for Akunahana. Flowers of Evil, of course, because not many people like the rotoscoped.
Over-application of a tool. Over-application of a tool as far as the rotoscoping was considered. You know, it would have been great for maybe specific scenes. Mm-hmm. And since I didn't watch past the first 10 minutes of this show because it just bothered me so much. But I kept on thinking, you know, that if there were tense, really hyper-realistic moments that you really wanted to showcase, that would have been the tool you used to just kind of take the audience right into that. And the rest of it could have been some form of classical, you know, tried and true animation for it. It was kind of like, to me, I always compare it to the Les Mis movie. You know, let's record them live right on the set. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sucks. You know, the first opening number sounds like 30 men drowning in water because that's what you did.
There's a reason that nobody does that.
Yeah, there's a reason why no one's done this so far ever in 100 years of movie musicals. So, you know, yeah,
I'm going to have to say just everything. Yes, I have to meow like a cat, but everything that they've done is just so underwhelming. And I mean, I'm trying to find something notable on this list here.
There's a lot of stuff on the list that there's just like, that's kind of a weird show. Like you mentioned, Akunohana is a weird show. Chubra is a weird show.
Weird show.
A very weird show. Just a lot of the stuff they did. Yeah, Diabolic Lovers. It's just there's
Diabolic Television.
Fortune Arterial, which they co-produced with Feel, is mm-hmm. like the most standard kind of show that they've got on this whole list. A Dark Rabbit Has Seven Summit. Lives was just what? No, there's not, so many of their shows was just kind of
there's Legend of the Legendary Heroes, which is fairly generic as well. Scrolling through this list, Omamori Himari, which was archetypical harm set up there. Mm-hmm. Was it Oni-chan something something? It's that show. You know what I'm talking about.
I don't like my big brother at all.
Yeah, yeah. That was also fairly...
Oh, God.
Fairly standard. I mean, some of their, I guess, a little older stuff. I'm looking at something called Our Home's Fox Deity. Some Japanese name is something different. Yeah, but...
Wagaya no Arinara-sama.
That was a little weird, but it was kind of like a nice little fantasy anime back there.
It was. That one I'll mention later.
Then I had something else I was thinking of, but I lost track of it. It's probably not important then. But yeah, basically it's everything they've touched, it's just, well, most of the things they've touched, you just kind of forget about. It's nothing notable. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, and they're also the only studio, as far as I'm aware, that whenever their kind of logo pops up, they have to have the pronunciation of their company name on there as well.
Yes,
just like,
yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, so it's just nothing too special about them. It's kind of disappointing.
Yeah, pretty much. I think the original properties that they adapt aren't very strong to begin with. Like a lot of the things you mentioned, Obamori Himari just was a very plain kind of harem type manga. But what was it that you were wanting to mention, Highway?
Well, I was gonna. You were, when we mentioned the favorite shows, I was gonna say that Our Home Fox Deity is probably my favorite one. A lot of it on the strength of the ED song, which is just a beautiful song by Sayori Hayami.
What was the name of the show again?
Our Home's Fox Deity, or Wagaya no Arinara-sama.
Yeah, I'd seen the first three episodes of that. It looked pretty good. I haven't had a desire to watch, but maybe I'll check it out.
It's one of the better ones. Not saying much, but...
Yeah.
For outliers, I'd have to say Sekite Inayo is the outlier, because it's the only shoujo on this entire list. Mm-hmm. And it's very shoujo.
I'm looking at comic artist and his assistants, and they don't have that much comedy going on.
No, they don't.
On this list. Chubra, I mean, I guess not really funny. Cuticle Tantai Inaba Detective. But not much comedically going on for them. So yeah, Tsukite is my favorite. Sky, it's mine.
It's like yeah, I can only just add a couple of ditto marks to what people have said before. It's just one of those studios where it's like, well, Zex did it. What do you expect?
Yeah, I don't have a favorite from them, just because it's so hard to pick amongst the mediocrity. However, I will point out the obvious outlier, which we've already mentioned, which is Flowers of Evil, because that's just an outlier of anime in general.
Yeah,
really.
It is, yes.
Out
yeah.
There.
That's a good point.
That's about it.
All right, and that has been our first Studio Spotlight. If you like this topic and you want to hear us talk about Shaft on the next episode or something, let us know in the comments. I kind of want to keep it focused to shows that are currently airing. Like, Shaft doesn't have a show right now on, which is kind of strange, until August 16th with Hanamonogatari.
Well, there are rumors going around that they're doing the food porn anime. I forget what it's called.
Shokugeki no Soma?
No. There's another one with like cute girls cooking food, and people are saying that Shaft might do it. I forget what it's called, but you'll probably find it if you just look on Crunchyroll or something in the news or something like that.
Alright.
Food porn. But it looks right up their alley. It's just cute girls doing suggestive things with things that should not be suggestive, which is totally what Shaft does.
Like what? Salmon roe?
Cucumbers.
Well, I mean, so far, a couple of promo pics I've seen, it's just like, they're just eating, like, just random things. But their expressions when they're eating, it's just like, it's just, you know, like it's very, very pleasurable
suggestive?
Experience. Yeah.
Orgasmic.
As Code Geass, you know, just to quote Code Geass, it's like if they were eating a fish, they'd probably proceed to pleasure themselves with the fish or something. But yeah.
The fish is gone. You can't pleasure yourself with the fish once it's gone. Makes no sense whatsoever.
You should watch. It's a little troll subs from whichever group. I think GG or something. Yeah.
Oh, no.
They had Suzaku. He had caught a fish on the island with, I forget her name. And then
like Colin,
they chose to translate what he said as, "I will now proceed to pleasure myself with this fish." It was just like, okay.
All right, and on that, that has been episode 45 of the Metaverse Podcast. Thank you for listening. Hopefully we can do one of these studio spotlights again with some more studios. For Smiley, for Skyline, and for Highway, I'm J-Ro. We'll see you next time on the Metaverse Podcast.
Yeah.